Welcome to the Nexus. Gentle Patreon subscribers, step into the ribbon with us as we get back on track this month.
Yeah, enough.
Enough with that deep space nonsense.
Oh, God. And Voyager.
I'm glad to be back to our overly sexual Star Trek episode.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Two in a row right Jesus Christ. That's bizarre as hell.
Oh, man. One is much better than the other one. So let's dive in this month. First off, Star Trek, the original series. The episode in question is Mud's Women. It's season one, episode six, original air date, October the 13th, spooky time of year, 1966. And this is a
spooky time of the world to be a woman.
Oh, yeah, especially a woman in this galaxy. Jesus Christ. Let me say up front, I hate Harry Mudd. This son of a bitch got two episodes on this show.
Oh, my God.
I hate
both of them.
He comes back in season two.
With his
fucking dumb earrings and his mustache.
He's also in the animated series.
I've seen very little of the original series. I've seen like the first couple episodes up to this point. I never saw this one. I've seen the Khan episode and I've seen the one with the black cats. That's about it.
Oh, you never saw the Tribbles?
Everybody saw the Tribbles, but
pardon me.
But this was a surprise to me, and it was a really like, oh man, it is so wretched.
It's like what I am, like a fat animated pauper that He-Man would push around. That's what this
You're
guy
talking
looks
about
like.
Harvey Mudd.
Harry Mudd.
Now, Harry Mudd is, I personally think he's revolting in all the right ways.
Oh, really?
I mean, he's supposed to be. You're not supposed to like this character, except the show at the end of the episode is like, well, Harry Mudd, maybe you have learned your lesson.
The minute this fucking nickel and dime pimp fucking walks in this thing, I disengage.
Well, no, here's the thing. This is
all right, Data, disengage. Harry Mudd is here.
This is a Star Wars character walking around in Star Trek, basically.
This could be like a
Dash Rendar smuggling pimp or whatever the fuck, right?
But he's dressed like Cyclops' dad, the space pirate, and Corsair.
And if he was, I'm sorry, but he's getting slaughtered.
Yeah, that's
true. Han Solo
would have put a laser blast through this dude's fat throat.
Yes. Jabba would have fed this guy to the Rancor after one of the dancers he brought didn't work out.
That's the thing is, like, you watch this movie, or this episode, rather, and as things are unfolding, you're like, oh, it's about sex trafficking. Well, pardon my zinger.
It's
not only sex trafficking, fraudulent sex trafficking.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it's still sex trafficking, but it's a, you know.
Yeah, the only thing that's worse than sex trafficking is off-the-book sex trafficking.
Unfortunately about Harry Mudd, who we hate so much, is like if we were to do cosplay, we would have to all four of us be Harry Mudd.
Yeah,
like,
which one of you is Harry Mudd?
We'd all be Harry Mudd.
Four Harry Mudds?
Because no one's pulling. I mean, it's either Harry Mudd or motion picture era fucking James Doohan.
I'll take that.
You know what? I'm fat with a mustache. I could play both of them.
Or I could be fat Chekhov because I'm 3 feet tall.
Maybe I'll do half. Half Mudd, half Doohan.
Oh.
Half a hat.
Yeah, you see. Yeah. You see all those people at the Comic Cons getting all creative with their costumes.
Like, what if Mudd was the Borg and assimilated Doohan?
I like that, dude. Hey, that reminds me, speaking of motion picture era Doohan, which is a great way to describe that, by the way.
Sure.
It's been, I've rediscovered this since the last time we recorded a Nexus, and I have to bring it up because you can find it on Vimeo. I sent it to some of you guys, I think. The James Doohan New York City Skyline Ride.
No. What?
I didn't send this to you?
Ridiculous.
What is? You must have not watched it, dude, because I asked you if you'd ever seen this. So it was a ride. I don't know if it's there because I live here now and people who live here don't go here. But in the observation deck of the Empire State Building in the early 90s, the first time I came to New York.
I guarantee you it's not there.
Yeah, no, you're right. When you went to the observation deck, like you did the thing, you looked out, you put a quarter in the thing, you saw the city and whatnot. And then when you came back in, there's like a gift shop where there's like $25,000 King Kong toys and whatever.
Yeah,
but what they had was a ride you could go in, and it was called like the NYC Sky Ride or something like that. And it was one of those bullshit, it's like a minivan on hydraulic lifts and there's a movie screen in front of it. And it was like, you're going to fly around Manhattan. with your tour guide, James Doohan, playing Scotty, wearing a fake fucking Starfleet uniform.
I mean, what's more New York than a fat Canadian pretending to be Scottish?
I know, right?
That's quintessential.
And his co-pilot? You better believe it's Yakov Smirnov.
What? No
yep.
way.
Yep.
Yeah. And you're asking if this is still there? Like... I can guarantee, I will bet you all the money I have in the bank.
No, I think that's now a big machine. Like, you go, like, it's in some fucking, like, warehouse in Philadelphia, and you go into it, you come out a child.
Yeah. I mean, well, listen, you know why I asked that, Steve? Because it had no business being there in the early 90s.
That would be a little, Chris.
Yeah, a little.
But it's just,
well, it's a sequel. You got to rethink it.
He's flying through the city, and he's crashing into shit. I mean, you can watch the entire ride on Vimeo now. Someone, by the grace of the internet gods, had the foresight to upload this thing.
Or the boredom of daily life.
That's what the internet's for, man. Anyway, Harry Mudd, I'm sorry.
How does this episode start?
They're chasing Harry Mudd's ship.
That's right, yeah. And like,
somebody's drunk at the wheel.
He's drunk driving through the galaxy.
This is what's amazing about this episode. Is
he's going to get a Dewey and fucking next to the
Captain
Rigel
system. Captain Kirk is just driving the ship. And it's like, that guy's swerving and his blinker's been on for a while.
Yeah, he's like, put the brakes on. Put the brakes on the Enterprise. We won't get a little distance.
Don't get too close. Don't get too close.
Turn the lights on. Whoop, whoop.
Let this asshole pass. I don't know what he's going to do.
So they're like tailing him, and like Sulu's like, oh, hey, so this dude's going to like burn out his engines because he's flooring it.
And everyone on the ship, by the way, is like, let this guy die, let this guy die.
Like who gives a shit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, hey, dude, you're getting a Dewey, you're dead.
But Kirk is so fucking rock hard to give this dude a space ticket. So, like, the dude,
it's always to fucking put somebody in their place.
It is.
Know why I stopped you today?
I'm Captain TJ Hooker.
Hey, you fly by the Romulan planet. You have any ale when you were there? Did you stop by for some ale?
Notice you also went through a red planet.
You drove through a red planet back there.
Instead of a stop sign, I guess. I don't know.
Want to take a good look at this badge? That's Captain.
The funny thing is, and we don't do this in Next Gen at all. I mean, this is old technology where, like, they blow six of their crystals or whatever.
Well, that's it's the
dilithium
thing that,
crystals.
Yeah, it's the thing I like the least. It's a plot device that happens a lot in Star Trek episodes.
They use it to build lightsabers. Oh, wait, that's Kyber crystals.
Yeah, get your fucking space crystals right, dude. You're like a sci-fi Hank Schrader over there.
Which I like smoking space crystals.
No, it's the tried and true Star Trek device of whoops, we broke down.
Yes.
We're fucking breaking down, man. And it's like, oh, we blew a bunch of rods.
Yeah.
And we can't go as fast because we blew a bunch of rods pulling over Harry Mudd. God, this episode sucks.
So everyone's pissed off from the get-go, right?
Yeah. We were like, everyone's pissed at Kirk.
Yes, they're all
like,
mad at him.
Fuck you, dude.
He's like, bring him on board. I want to talk to this Joker. And it's Harry Mudd, and he comes up with three beautiful, beautiful space babes.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's
these are
like, whoa, women? Even though you're surrounded by women.
I know.
But it's more women.
I mean, Bones is about to vomit from an erection. Like, this thing.
The amount.
Jim, I got to go back to my cabin. I've got the fucking puke dick. It's when my dick gets so hard it starts. It's a little known condition, Jim, that when my dick gets so hard, you know, all the blood, it's got nowhere left to go. So it starts pewing blood.
He's looking at these women and like he it's like he's got food poisoning. He's sweating and like looking at them, like goes pale. He's like, oh my God.
Well, it just sucks. Like, you know, I feel like it's always a gamble when you're working in the transporter room and you're beaming across like or beaming aboard an unknown person.
Sure,
you're like,
who knows?
Oh, come on, let it be a space lady. So like the first beam is Harry Mudd and you're like, well, it can't get any grosser than this.
I'll never have an erection again.
And they're like, oh, let's pull off the remaining passengers. And the ship blows up. And they're like, oh, fuck, did we get him? And then, like, these three babes beam on board. And it's Spock, Scotty, and Bones in the control room or in the transporter room. And two of these three men, hint, it's not the half Vulcan, are fucking boning out immediately. The amount of stretched out pants in this episode had to be outrageous. I mean,
and also, like, the soft lighting every time the women come on. It's like a fucking Sears shoot. Like, what are we talking about?
Scotty, could you stop pressing that against me?
And it's just, I mean, it's just another reminder that Gene Roddenberry was a fucking scumbag.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Oh,
God.
He was a fucking scumbag.
But
it's outrageous.
What a visionary. So, you know, I actually like some of the Harry Mudd aspects. I think he's a fun character just because he's so ridiculous. He says he's Captain Leo Walsh.
Oh,
and then
right.
when he's pressed on it, it's just like, yeah, okay, that's not my license, buddy. I lied about that.
I have a record.
I think I would like him a lot more because I don't mind the actor. I think he's funny. He's got like good timing.
He's into it, yeah.
I don't like the Irish accent because it's just such a... Like, how you could get on a fucking TV set doing just a cartoon voice? It's like, well, what are we talking about here? Like, well, no Irishman in history of it.
It's a cartoon show.
That's true. No, it's true. I mean, this is the late 60s, man. If you could put on a silly accent like that...
Well, I guess you'd either, for that accent, you'd be a cop. You could be...
Well, yeah.
Well, also, like, the Irish, obviously, dangerous immigrant population that washed up on these shores brought all their prostitution and sleaze.
It
stands to reason that would extend into outer space.
That's actually true. And, you know, 300 years from now.
Just
guaranteed.
Looking for a potato, man. Flying through the galaxy.
So Kirk is also, he's not immune to the charms, but he's into it, but not as much. Like, literally, Bones can't do his job. Bones is just, like, out of commission to this whole episode.
Bones out of commission. I mean,
yes, Dick's puke and blood.
I mean, Kirk's one of those guys who's like, oh, you think you can make me horny? Look out. I'm about to turn that shit back on you.
Yeah. I've been with green women. You're nothing special.
Anyone notice weirdly, like, because again, like, we're always like so close to actually being Star Trek, and like, Uhura's in a yellow outfit for this one, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, just like, fucking make a decision.
Just figure it out, and let's just be Star Trek already.
Yeah, it's just like whatever piece of wardrobe was available. And it's like, you know, it's better if they're not changing clothes like real people. I mean, this is a work uniform, man. You have fucking casual wear.
You gotta earn that. Command yellow. You gotta earn it.
Like Kirk's goddamn green casual houseware shirt that he's got.
This is a really interesting nitpick. Like, because we're like a few episodes into this thing. It hasn't really found itself.
I know.
All right.
It's been like 19 months on the show.
But I'm also suffering the obese pimp that is.
So Kirk's
fucking
like, all right,
Mud.
Bring this Harry Mudd to my quarters, man, because we're going to do some interrogating.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically Harry Mudd goes on trial because they're like, you know, you broke all these space laws, what with the drunk driving? So you're going to get this space Dewey and we're going to talk to you about it. And we're going to put you in one of the single most hilarious lie detector tests in television history. Well, it's like this and fucking Homer Simpson blowing up the machine.
Yeah.
Moses like blowing up the machine.
I don't deserve this kind of treatment.
He claims that these women are, I believe, like mail order brides for minors or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh no, just in general. I mean, like, this is kind of Taken, right? This is what happens.
Right? They got off at the fucking Paris spaceport.
Yes.
Oh no. They're going to take you to outer space.
All right. Describe the man's mustache that takes you.
Oh, no. It's my sworn enemy, Harry Mudd.
There was a really cute young guy in a Starfleet officer's uniform outside the Paris airport.
Oh, yeah. You got the hunk bait. I think he's like, now that I've found your sexual slavery asteroid, buy her. Buy her, Mudd. Buy my daughter. Don't you dare let that chic buy my daughter.
That space chic.
He brings Harry Mudd into a room with a bunch of dark velvet curtains. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just pressing a button to bid.
That sounds like Harry Mudd's game, man.
That's what you think is happening. Because so he's like, hey, man, I'm taking these babes to, like, it's like some other planet, and he's also spinning them a line of bullshit.
Of course, that's a Harry Mudd
like,
way.
He's like, oh, they're minors, so they're rich. So you, I'm going to make you a duchess, and you a countess, and you a queen. Yeah. And it's like, you're fucking falling for this fat guy's rub?
Like any good pimp,
He's also feeding them drugs.
Well, the drugs.
Yep. You're so right, Kevin. Oh, man.
And he's feeding them these drugs that apparently hide that they're, what, 800 years old?
I mean, 40. The answer you're looking for is 40. Actually,
it's revealed that they're plain. This makes them hot. It's a hot pill.
I was of the idea that, like, if they had been let to do this, like another day.
Yeah.
Oh, they would have rotted away.
They would have gone the full last crusade. That.
I just feel like, I mean, like, because it happens in the middle of the episode. It's like a turn. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Homely.
You see? It's amazing because, like, it starts to happen. The transformation happens. And I'm thinking of that episode we already did. Mm. The one with the succubus lady.
Bones's old girlfriend there.
So I'm looking for Birdo in a wig, and it turns out to be a lady without makeup that might be over the age of 35, and everyone's throwing up.
Well, it's insane. It's like, here's this like weird 1960s sort of like personality-less supermodel, and she stops taking these pills, and she turns into Janine Garofalo, and the fucking cast shits their pants, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this?
Well, no, because it's more of like that flaky makeup thing. Yeah. It's more of like a fucking, you know, Baby Jane thing.
Oh no, if I don't take my medicine, I'm going to turn into Joan Crawford.
Take that medicine.
Hurry up, so, take those medicine.
As you can see, you're uglier with more makeup.
I'm not turning into those guys.
All right, ladies, do with the makeup already.
Wait, what?
You know what? Everyone can wear whatever makeup they want.
What is this?
No,
what
people guys like, are those? Dudes who are just like, I like my women. I don't like to be friend zoned, and I don't like women wearing too much makeup.
Was that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
I had no idea
that's
a thing. No, that's some backwards values.
Yeah.
I was just saying because this is caked on here to the point of flaking.
Yeah. I felt like I was an Xbox.
I didn't mean to trigger you.
I felt like I was in an Xbox chat room for 5 minutes.
Fucking sounded like I was on a YouTube comment board. Man, I stumbled across one of those the other day. Man, what was I watching a preview for? It was something. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, like, you get down to the... Oh, it was... I was watching the trailer for that Eagles of Death Metal documentary.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, wow, you know, the new Colin Hanks movie looks great. I watched it. It is great, you know. But so I watched the preview on YouTube, and then I scroll down, and it's just... instantly the most heinous shit, and I was like, oh right, YouTube, you know what, like, just disable it. Why do we need YouTube comments?
Read the comments, please. Recite them.
Were they talking about dangling or
what? Yeah, what were they?
No,
saying?
It was all like, because the movie is about how Eagles of Death Metal were playing at the concert venue in Paris when the terrorist attack happened.
Yeah.
So the movie is about, like, they chronicle all of that, and then it's like
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. But no, it's like, oh yeah, way to fucking cash in. Oh, cash cow, making a movie about what happened to you, snowflake. And you're just like, holy tits, it's not even out yet when you're commenting
on
this.
Why don't you tell that to Prison Planet? I mean, he's cashing in on all that
shit. I just love the notion, first of all, that anyone's making a fucking dime off of documentaries. Welcome to the real world. That's a fucking fool's errand.
Absolutely.
Making money on documentaries, yuckle.
Speaking of movies, was that movie Mudd with Matthew McConaughey, was that about Harry Mudd?
His early days.
Before he became a space pirate.
He might even be like his ancestor.
I gotta get all these space ladies, these makeup pills.
Oh, now I'm accidentally hanging out with these two kids.
I drove through a black hole, came out the other side obese with a bunch of ladies.
Made a baby with Reese Witherspoon. It's real fat.
Oh, the baby's fat?
Fat, got a twisted mustache on it.
Oh, he's Mudd's dad. I like this.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's a prequel.
Oh, it's all great.
Hey, Taz. Can you go fix those crystals?
I'm going to go fight Sam Shepard. I'm going to drown him.
Well, the funny thing
is... spoiler alert,
I
man.
Don't think he actually
Now I'm fighting Matt Damon on a rock.
Oh, no, Joe Don Baker's in that movie.
What?
Oh,
yeah, yes, Joe Don Baker is in Mudd. I Holy think he's Matthew shit. McConaughey's dad.
Yeah, he's like
something.
So that's Mudd's grandfather.
So Give a dime, Mudd.
the ship is breaking down, as Andrew said, and like we have this thing where like the lights are flickering.
Jesus,
and,
like, find another
like, if
way.
I'm in a spaceship and the fucking lights start flickering, I'm in the escape pod immediately.
Dude, if the lights are the first thing to go, yep. Oh God, there's only one thing more terrifying in space, and that's being in the dark in space.
So the lights are flickering, so we have to make it to this planet. Oh, there's a lithium planet. Not too far from here. We just go there. Harry Mudd gets wind of the scheme. He's going up the river for life at this point.
Cool. Harry Mudd's getting the space chair.
So he intercepts transmissions to the space planet. I don't think Uhura would allow this, but sure, we'll pretend
it's a weird thing where like one of his space mavens like somehow steals a communication device from somebody.
Sure.
You know, because they're all like doing his bidding for various things, you know.
So... They wind up going to the planet. He winds up telling them ahead of time, like, hey, I got these ladies. You're going to have, I was going to say Picard, you're going to have Kirk over a barrel. When he wants to negotiate, say that you want me free and you want all these ladies.
Right. And so they go down there and he's like...
Kirk hates, by the way, that Harry Mudd gets the upper hand.
Oh, he does. He gets duped by this fat pirate and he's pissed about it. And, you know, it's like these three dudes. And this was like Harry Mudd's selling point for these ladies. He's like, listen, it's a mining planet where there's only three guys. They've been alone for years and they all work in a hole all day. Doesn't that sound fantastic, ladies?
And there's sandstorms and all the time.
You can never go outside.
Yep.
And there's sandworms, too. And a guy named Beetlejuice.
Oh, man. There should have been sandworms in this episode.
Yeah. But magically, as it turns out, sand cleans your dishes. Sure.
What was that about?
Well, this is so fucking stupid.
This was, well, now, I mean, this is an antiquated thing.
Desert clean.
So, Steve, don't jump on me on this, but I think they were trying to demonstrate the domestic value of having a woman around.
Well, no, yeah.
The idea of how to clean something.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so they go down to this planet. There's the one lead whose name is Eve, and then the two other ones. The two other ones are, like, much, or less nuanced. She is not so happy about taking the pill, so I think she stops taking the pill.
She gets to talk to Kirk.
She does.
Well, that's what flips you.
Yeah.
One conversation with James Tiberius Kirk. You're straight.
True. She got woke.
Right, motherfucker.
Yeah, sorry. I've been drinking.
So she winds up there. It's and like this is the thing. We're in this like, little outpost. It's three dudes, three ladies, and this guy's like trying to be like, "Hey, why aren't you having fun? We're having fun. We're dancing. Why
it's
aren't
like
you dancing?
This is like." In the moments before an SVU sting goes south.
Yes.
And this is the guy who's just, he's trying to get this party started. And you're like, oh, ew.
And she's not into it. She's like, oh, you know, she's like kind of being down about it. She's like, oh, this planet sucks. So he's like,
why don't you try smiling?
He goes to some other girl. And then like they're fighting. They start fighting over the other two. Because there's three guys and two ladies and one fucking wet blanket. And she goes like,
one wet blanket ain't even wearing makeup.
And she's like, why don't you fight each other? And the loser gets to have me. And it's like, oh, Jesus. And she runs out into the dust. And it turns into a big...
Runs out into the dust.
Kirk follows, like... Well, and,
oh, man, that's a scary sex horror movie. Kirk follows.
I'm haunting the last person you fucked.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
It's like an attractive 40-year-old who met him at a convention.
Yes.
Leaving.
Dude, I would kind of want the Kirk follows demon after me just so I can hang out with Captain Kirk. I mean, he'll probably catch me and screw me, but murder me or whatever.
Screw you the right way.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to take you anywhere. Not in space.
It's a good way to go, though.
I'm peeing myself in your kitchen.
But he runs out after the woman, and like one of the miners is like, "Don't go out there, you'll die. Let her go," or whatever.
Yeah, he's the lead miner. He's like a bald guy, looks like Skinner from the X-Files.
Oh my God, he totally does.
He looks a lot like him. So he winds up catching her, and they go into a hovel. And this is when
hovel, nice.
Yeah, they're holed up in his place, and he starts to realize, like Eric said, like the values of domesticity. And he's like, I cook for myself. And she's like, well, I can cook for you. And he's like, wow, this is good, but I shouldn't let this ugly woman know that I value her at all.
Cut to just off camera, Gene Roddenberry furiously masturbating.
And like the weird thing is like Kirk comes, and the whole thing is like the Enterprise is like, you know, 2 minutes of power left. It's like, oh my God,
right?
We're gonna get. There's this great moment where he goes back up to the Enterprise. Kirk goes back to the Enterprise after like the woman runs off, and they need to use the scanners. And Scotty's like, well, we don't have power because, you know, they didn't. And he's like, yeah, I didn't get the crystal, Scotty. I failed. Is that what you wanted to hear? And Scotty's like, this is really uncomfortable.
I hate when he gets like this.
Come on, let me have it.
Yeah, it's just this weird, like, snotty shit that he
what
does.
Is the there's a part in this episode, I think it's when it's Kirk, Scotty, and maybe Spock are having, like, a little conference about something, and he's like, you know, I just really hate this pimpy jackass or whatever. And he's like, I hate this jackass too. And I was like, we're just saying jackass on Star Trek?
Sure.
It's kind of nice.
Probably bumping penises while they do that.
Well, everybody's got these uncontrollable boners because of Harry Mudd's babes.
So the last act is we go back to this hovel. It's Kirk. And he's like, give me the crystals, Mudd. I'll get you out of here. And like, they reveal that this woman's been taking these pills. And
yes, the Venus drug.
The Venus
drug. Oh, isn't that something?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've heard of the Venus drug. She takes it, and she looks better for a while.
The miner also, like, it was like, I thought that was an urban legend or whatever. Yeah. Like, it was like a story he heard from childhood he didn't know was real.
Then you just picture these three miners hanging out at night, sharing stories.
Oh, sure.
They've been together for 3 years.
Mining dilithium, it takes a while.
They should fucking start a podcast.
So she takes it, and this is, so the weird thing is this episode's about pimps and sex trafficking. Then it turns into this weird thing of like the domestic value of women, not just sex, gentlemen. But the weirdest twist at the end, it turns into a kid's book because like she takes it and like she looks beautiful for a second, and then he's like, "Oh, I switched the pills. The true beauty was inside of you. You needed to believe in yourself."
Okay, thanks for this. You'll never need cocaine again.
It turns into that fucking old 60s song about like marry an ugly woman, she'll cook for you.
You know it is.
That's just like thanks for this ugly duckling horse shit.
It's so weird. Like, yeah, because that's the thing. Go for the ugly one. They cook better. It's like,
well, again, dude, cut to just off camera Roddenberry rubbing it raw.
And they're grateful.
They'll do anything. Anything.
This is like a Don Draper penned episode.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like the most Don Draper this show's gotten thus far.
Yeah, so far, yeah.
It's not the Negron Complex, which was just written by Harry.
I was about to bring that up, right?
I love the Negron Complex. The idea of the Negron Complex is something that I love.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Well, it was Harry Crane, right?
Harry Crane is like, but the Negrons are white. It's like that. It's so stupid.
Don't go on.
So they get the crystal, and the weird thing is, like, at some point, like, Kirk is like, I just need four crystals. Like, you know what, Kirk? Why don't you have extra crystals lying around? Like, that's like, it's like a light bulb. Switch it out if you get into this trouble.
Exactly. Like, yes, you need four or whatever to get everything back up and running, but let's take, I don't know, 16.
Yes.
Or, like, start the episode, they go to a spaceport, and they're going to pick up some cargo like that.
Sure.
And it's like, they're out of crystals. Can you believe that?
You know? We only have four on the ship. Yeah, you should totally have some lying around.
And well, then it's like they're leaving the spaceport, and then that's when they see the drunk driver.
Like, oh, yeah, totally. Well, that's like that one, the end of that one weird episode where he's telling that Latino captain that he's going to be bringing hot peppers back to him.
Yeah.
Oh, Kirk at the spaceports. Just haggling in a market.
Maybe like he's going to bring the hot peppers for the crystals, but the guy doesn't have the crystals, so I'm keeping the peppers.
It's for all those space ham sandwiches he likes.
So then it's fucked up, like, you know, Mudd, you know, he's like, all right, Mudd, like, let's go. This is the bullshit part, too. He's like, I'll vouch for you in the court case or whatever. I'll be, like, your character witness. I was like, why?
He almost killed your whole crew.
Totally.
Engaging in sex trafficking.
Like, this guy is a downright scoundrel.
Behead him, please.
Well, that's the other thing, Captain Kirk. Listen, this is like this mining thing.
There's no prime directive here. Kill the miners. Kill everyone.
Kill the miners. Kill these women. Kill Harry Mudd. Yes. No one's going to know anything. This was an unscheduled stop.
Shall I mark them as marooned, Captain?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, dude. Looks like that space storm's getting pretty bad down there, Jim.
Oh no, Jim. They choked to death on a bunch of sand.
Look, all you got to do with Mudd is strap him to a rock on that planet and let the sand do its business.
Oh,
Yeah, yep. rip his skin off.
Rip his skin until he's nothing.
Dude, just, we get him on the ship, and then we leave him out to sea like Osama bin Laden.
Jim, you remember Osama bin Laden?
A couple hundred years ago.
History's greatest villain.
Yes, Barack Obama, 2012. Earth.
So he offers to be like this character witness or whatever, and Mud is just like, I don't remember the line, but he's like, if you did that, I'd get a life sentence or something like that. And it's like credits.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. I did not like this episode very much.
No.
It is definitely the weakest one we've probably seen yet, besides like the cage or whatever.
Accidental episodes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wasn't really feeling this one either, even though I'm usually the big TOS.
This is awful.
You have a little something there for us, don't you?
Do we want to do it now or we want to do it at the end?
Well, it's TOS based, isn't it? We'll do it at the end. Well, it's a tease.
There's something special in our pocket related to TOS at the end of this episode.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, but I don't like this episode. It's the worst episode of Star Trek I've seen in the rewatch. And as far as what I remember watching of TOS, this is one of the worst episodes of all time.
Yep.
I hated it.
Intentional comedy on this show is not so great.
No. No. Wait till we get to that motherfucking Alice in Wonderland episode. Then you'll really see jokes falling on their ass.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait.
So that was Mud's Women. From Star Trek, the original series, originally airing October the 13th, 1966. Coming up next on the program, a very special sexy episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation. Stay tuned. Well, welcome back to the program. this is Star Trek, The Next Generation. The episode in question, Justice.
Justice.
Yeah. What the fuck with that title?
It should be called Sexual Justice, if anything.
Yeah,
at least Sexual Justice.
Someone clean this up. Call it that.
Orgy Planet.
No, Mr. Data, it's an orgy planet.
Orgy Planet, original air date, November the 7th. 1987. This is season 1, episode 7, and this is some sexy shit.
This shit is disgusting.
Captain, should I have something in every orifice right now?
The brief synopsis is that the Enterprise finishes dropping colonists off on some planet, and everyone's like, it's time for shore leave, motherfucker.
We are fucking breaking balls, Picard. Come on.
And he's like, well, there's this beautiful planet. I've had Riker looking at it, and if he gives it a good grade, we'll all have a nice fun in the sun.
If Commander Riker gives this resort planet 2 thumbs up,
it'll just
your
be-
butt.
It'll be just like summer rental. So innocent.
And it's so stupid. Like, he's like, now I certainly hope nothing goes awry. Star Trek, The Next Generation.
So he sends down Riker, who's been there before, Worf. I was about to call her Crosby, but Tasha Yar.
And he's like, David Crosby is there.
Big, fat, weird David Crosby.
You know what I found out about David Crosby? A colleague of mine was telling me this.
Is this planet dry or not? Because if not, I got to get out of here.
David Crosby apparently will answer any question you ask him on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. He's an avid Twitter user.
Let's see what he thinks of Mudd's Women.
He could have been Harry Mudd, actually.
He could have been.
And David Crosby as Harry Mudd.
So, and he actually goes up to Wesley. He's like, Wesley, this is a sex planet, but I do want to see, is there anything for kids to do? Is there like a, I don't know, an arcade or...
Toss? Do you play Toss down there?
Toss salad?
So he sends, but the weird thing is he doesn't send down Crusher. By the way, Crusher is awful in this episode.
I love Gates McFadden.
She gets better as the show gets on.
She does. I mean, this is
one of those episodes where I'm like, oh, I see why she got fired. Like, and I think she's great. I do think she's great. But she's really uniquely bad in this episode.
But because they're feeding her bad lines, man. She's got bad junk in her.
It's not a great.
What?
Yeah, bad line junk.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, not heroin.
Mainlining those scripts.
So, by the way, Riker's been here. He loves it. He wants to be the fucking mayor of Sex Planet.
Yeah, what
way.
A shock. This fucking Jimmy Buffett listening motherfucker, Will Riker.
I mean, how many people did he fuck on the first try, right? Like, I mean,
six.
Like,
at least a baker's dozen.
I'm thinking six.
Yeah. at least six. Possibly as high as a baker's dozen. You know what a baker's dozen is, Cabin, right?
Yes.
It's 13. You know why? It's the order a dozen. If the baker likes you,
I'm aware
he tosses
this.
In another
oh,
one.
Oh, man. If the baker likes you, he tosses your salad.
Well, that's on this planet.
Hello, girls. You know what the Riker maneuver is?
right in the pooper.
Tasha Yar goes, as they're talking about it before they go, she's like, yes, they're very liberated sexually. And I mean, like, Tasha Yar's sexuality is always kind of a bit of a question mark. Is she bi? Is she what? She's like,
that's like a pinball machine.
They're like, oh, they'll make love at a drop of a hat with anybody. She's specifically
any
like,
hat.
At the drop yep. of any hat. The
top
idea of,
hats, baseball caps, bowlers, whatever.
And then later.
Tops, a lot of top hats.
Later, she's
any
sitting,
bottom hats?
Later, she's sitting down with two people. One's a man, one's a woman. Like, where's that going?
Everywhere. Every which way but loose.
So they go down. Oh, and Troy goes as well.
Yep.
So obviously. So yeah. Troy's like, oh, I like this planet. Everybody likes it. Wesley meets this woman. Like, by the way, we need to talk about the outfits.
Oh, the lack. They're just wearing toilet paper.
Yeah,
casual attire.
These dudes are wearing like they're like jumpsuits are cut in such a way that it's just like expose that belly button, expose those nipples.
They all look like they're wearing Borat's bathing suit.
Yeah, yeah, it's disgusting.
Awesome.
And I could see what the women had for fucking breakfast. I'll tell you that much. These outfits. The weird thing is, so like this girl, this woman goes up to Wesley and she's like, "Oh, you're a child. I don't know what to do with
well,
you."
No, because
there's like a question about like the legality. Like, can I fuck you?
Well,
is
because
that
this is the setup, though. This is the setup. Is this babe and this hunk who are like the head babe and the head hunk? I guess
sure.
of the episode. Jog up to them and they're like, "Oh, you came back. We didn't think you'd come back." And this babe gives Will Riker one of the fucking best hugs I've ever seen.
That's a fucking welcome back hug.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
I remember
we fucked.
All of this.
Oh, yeah. And so, like, Troy's like, uh-huh, which is yeah. pretty great. We're starting to throw some shade around. So, but then they're like hugging everybody. Denise Crosby's getting in on this lady hug. I like that. Everybody's hugging everything.
The thing with then Worf also mentions like how he can't like fuck these women because on Earth he like breaks women when he fucks them.
Yeah, totally.
Like this
like
is
a
literally
chicken bone.
Stated. Like Worf can only fuck Klingon women because they have it like they're built in such a fashion that he won't harm.
He
them.
Can't have.
It's.
It's disturbing. Honestly, it's disturbing.
They drop this, certainly, because he has sex with a lot of human women going forward and humanoid women.
Well, I think he just learns to tone it down is the idea.
But the weird
because
thing
his
is,
argument
well,
is...
Or maybe they like it rough.
He says he can't come unless he's like throwing a lady around a room or something.
Well, no, he's just like, it gets too violent for the women. And what you would call it, the weirdest thing Riker says, Riker looks around, he's like, Worf, if you were any other man, I'd swear you were bragging. And I'm
yep,
like,
yep.
Is that the word you want, Will bragging?
That's how they yeah. do things in Montana, man.
Dude, fucking Will Riker.
Is he from
dude.
Montana?
Will Riker, Montana.
What is with all these middle Americans getting all the good jobs on these in these ships?
Well, I'm sure
Iowa,
you got
Montana.
Some city boys on there. I think Sulu himself was from San Francisco.
Will Riker's a professional pervert, right? Like, I just
oh,
feel
yeah.
like he's
he
just...
plays the trombone, Steve.
He's throwing it everywhere.
I mean, like, I just feel like he loved Kirk for all the wrong reasons.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
He's probably had, like, a running tally in his head. It's like, well, Kirk did this. I'm doing that.
It's like all those idiots that think Don Draper's a fucking folk hero.
Exactly. That's Will Riker.
What we're missing, though, is the whole thing that Worf says to Riker, that happens later at a social gathering. What happens here is this babe takes one look at Michael Dorn and just goes, oh, good, a big one.
Yeah.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Excuse me, could you not call me a big one?
It is outrageous.
You know, because it's actually average.
It's a stereotype that Klingons all have horned dicks.
No, seriously, it can create a complex. It can get really bad.
But so that,
so
yeah,
there's a lot of good writing about how women view Klingon men.
Wait, is it? There's not. It's not even ribbed for their.
Well,
pleasure?
I mean, who knows what's going on?
Oh, it's probably like a little crinkle head, just like his forehead.
It actually looks like a cactus.
That's outrageous.
Looks like a dragon fruit.
He is an alien. It could be something completely different. It could be like a vagina.
You don't know.
Maybe it just spews jism or something. I don't know how it works.
No, nobody does. That's the mystery.
Wow, we are losing money by the second.
This is what they want. People on Twitter say, get filthy, get filthy.
But so then, yes, to what we were trying to get to is she then goes up to give Wesley a hug, but she's like, oh, kid alert.
Yeah, I don't know. Ooh, I don't know what you guys' laws are. She's like, oh, well, yeah. we have some kids you can hang out with. And they have, I mean, like, I didn't do the IMDb, but the outfit they have this young lady in, it's a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, look out below.
It's just like, how old is this actress? Like, what laws are we breaking right now?
Old enough for Roddenberry.
I guess so.
I didn't even notice this. I don't know if that says something about me, but I didn't even notice this.
It's just like, whoa. Because, the funny thing is, it's like this young boy, this other guy who looks like fucking Robin Williams. This kid's got so much body hair.
I mean, this the one who's like the lead, you know, young boy is like, he's an Adonis. Yes. I mean, he's like a gorgeous young man.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know,
man.
Statuesque.
And so they're like, all right, teenage Will Wheaton, go hang out with these kid models.
The most amazing double entendre we get is like, oh, we could play, Will Wheaton's like, oh, we could play baseball with a bat and a ball. And the woman is like, what's a bat? And they make him make do like the
yep.
It's this big thing.
Yeah, like,
and
it's this long and about this thick.
Yeah, and like she's like, I don't know what that is. And you're like, dude, this kid's like 16, man.
Oh, you mean a dildo. Yeah, my dad's got a ton of those.
Oh, we got a whole shed full of them.
I'll get one of those double-edged ones so you could play with it.
Darth Maul has that.
Yeah, that's another Star
Wars. This is actually the dildo planet. That's all we do.
Yeah.
It's dildo, like Lord of the Rings, in the middle of the earth. You dig down and you make the bigger dildos down there.
Mount sit and spin.
And you hoist them out of the fire.
Ah, yes. J.R.R. Tolkien's legendary Mount sit and spin. Yes.
Oh, no. The orcs chopped down the trees and brought industry to make orc dildos.
And Sauron made a dildo so big it could bind all of the rectums in the entire planet.
The other thing that's outrageous, though, is that you can see Wesley, like, gets
a dwarf doesn't sit on a dildo. A dwarf wields a dildo.
David Letterman laughs.
Yeah. Sorry. I just needed
Wesley,
to get that out.
Wesley is... Listen, he's a teenage boy. Yeah, he knows what's going on.
But he's
on.
Also played as very young, which is weird.
He is, but there's also, when the girl is like, right before he's got to do the fucking baseball bat measurements, he's like, she's like, do you know any games? And he's like, well, to be completely honest, I'm not so good at those games yet. And I was like, you're talking about fucking... Well, this kid knows about fucking...
Because he's definitely... He's had an erection. He's just not telling anybody about it.
Of course.
Yeah. He's not
Not even his doctor mom.
He's been clocking hours on that fucking holodeck. Oh, you know, people are lining up in the morning waiting to get in. Like, are you in there still, Wesley? Come on.
Data's like, I'm trying to play Sherlock Holmes. Wesley, you didn't clear your browser history in the holodeck.
Listen to me here, Data. Yeah, I'm supposed to report to you about problems with sanitation.
Data's problem.
Look here, it's just a mess in there. I don't know how else to put it.
Captain, I really would like to be off sanitation duty.
Wesley, have you been playing the Jack the Ripper profile as Jack the Ripper?
You're supposed to solve the crime.
I did. Like Kirk solved the Kobayashi Maru. I became him.
I solved how to take apart 8 hookers.
I don't use the word flood tide often.
Look, we didn't even know we had a Wonderland horror protocol. Bill Wesley went in there. I mean, yeah, you got a 14-year-old boy in a holodeck? Forget yeah. about it.
Oh, God. Parental yeah. settings or bust.
So what happens is Yar is having a nice conversation with the ladies and gentlemen, and she finds out that there's a huge death penalty on this planet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What a
comes
shock.
Out of nowhere. Because you're like, oh, is this going to be like a thing about like... I don't know, like maybe it's the 80s, we're going to talk about like protection, maybe we're going to talk about like...
Sure,
you know,
man, dicks, boobs, butts, it's all there.
Like, you know, maybe thing. It's about like free love, like where does that lead? Like what is the Star Trek metaphor we're talking about? But all of a sudden it's the death penalty?
Look out, capital punishment, didn't see you coming.
So basically there are zones wherein the death penalty is strictly enforced and those move day to day for some reason.
Well, the whole planet, this is what's it's kind of awesome, is they all live in a state of fear and a constant state of horror. But the idea is all crime, whatever the transgression, is punishable by death.
Yes.
It's just mandatory death penalty for the slightest whatever. But the gag is it's only in certain zones.
Yes.
But you don't know what the zone is. But you don't know if you're in the zone at the right time, at the right day.
You could get away with murder if you're lucky.
Correct. Yes. So the fear is you might be in that zone at the time of the transgression.
Oh, deterrent. God. That's like being in Texas and not even knowing it. Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Or fucking Florida. Holy shit.
And I mean, it's like...
I thought I was in Georgia. Turned out I was in fucking Florida.
As we find out, it's like any... Like, if you broke a fence, you're fucking
dead.
That's
what happened. Wesley's like playing catch with these kids, these sex kids, and he falls into like an atrium and like breaks a fucking plant. And
Larry Clark's sex kids.
Oh, man. That's all of them.
Yeah,
that's every.
I wish
when they're getting really desperate for a sequel.
Oh man,
this one episode of Next Generation. Man, I thought it was amazing. It was amazing. It was these kids, and they were doing stuff.
I like this impression a lot.
Larry Clark.
So Wesley falls into this like patch of newly potted plants and whatnot.
He's condemned to death.
And these dudes are running around with a syringe to inject people
on site.
Yes, just a fatal injection wherever you go.
That's a pretty great job, injector guy.
Yeah. That's the funniest thing is not true. So these two guys, everyone's wearing white tunics. These dudes are wearing like dark gray tunics. So
right.
They're the Gestapo or whatever.
They're the Judge Dredds.
They are Judge Dredds. And they're about to stick him with a syringe, and like Yar grabs it, and then she goes to Riker. She's like, looks to be some sort of syringe. Like, yeah, I know.
Thanks for the fucking professional evaluation, Tasha.
The B story, which kind of is the A story, is back on the Enterprise. There's this thing hovering around the planet, which happens to be, you guessed it, a god creature. Who would have fucking guessed?
Who comes into fruition as a malevolent soap bubble.
Yeah, totally.
Who just, like, hijacks
Data's
brain.
Are you taking a bubble bath again?
Get that soap off my bridge, Mr. Data.
Yeah, it sucks into Data's head like a fucking a xenomorph, man. It's like he's out for the count.
It's actually awesome because it's totally like the thing like goes in front of Data's face and he's like, hey, Captain, should I do whatever it takes to get information from this thing? And Picard's like, of course, you're a fucking robot.
That's what you're here for.
So it latches on
his head. A fucking mind, man. You're the first one in, last one out.
It latches onto his head, and then it just cuts to this wide, and it's a Data dummy falling over backwards. Oh, I loved it. Oh, I loved it.
And it's this soap bubble stuck to his head, and he winds up learning all about these things. When Wesley gets sentenced to death, Data wakes up, and he tries to tell Picard about them, but he's being long-winded, and he's like, Data, stop babbling!
Babbling, Captain?
Oh, he gets really offended. Like, it's like, oh, okay. All right. No, fine. I don't want to babble. I don't want to bore you.
Right. But then it's awesome because then he's like, oh, so what happened? Oh, Wesley's sentenced to death, huh? That's a real bummer. Can we talk about why that happened? And what is it that she says? Crusher is there, which, by the way, you're taking the robot to the doctor? Okay.
Yeah, this is
how about taking
him
to the fucking science officer? Jesus Christ. But so then he's like, he's talking about Wesley getting executed or whatever. He's like, oh, it's fascinating. The motherly instinct of blah, blah, blah. And she's like, will you just shut up?
Yeah.
And like runs away.
Yeah. Not a great showing.
Not great.
And I love Gates McFadden.
You know what's my favorite part of this episode that it's kind of peppered throughout is the soundscape in where they can't have outright fucking like pleasure sounds.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So it's a lot of like, I guess you could call them ghost giggles.
Yeah.
Like if you were doing a show about a haunted house and it was like, sometimes in the dead of night, if you listen very carefully, you could hear the ghost giggling.
It's the sound that Renee Zellweger made every time Tom Cruise complimented her in Jerry Maguire.
Yes.
It's just a gentle giggle.
But it's that mixed with dry humping in the background. There's nothing but dry humping.
So much like making out. Yeah, a lot of that. It's
a lot of groping and grappling with muscle.
And it's like some of the my most favorite shots in this episode. It's just Jonathan Frakes strutting through the promenade, looking at all this fucking, and he's just like, I found all of this.
I'm singing in the rip.
But he's like really bummed out now that his pleasure planet, of course, turns out to be shit, man.
Yeah. So imagine shock.
So it's like browbeating this other guy who's just like, hey, man, I don't tell you how to live your life, man. It's like, yeah, we kill people for nothing here, but we fuck all the time. It's kind of a win-win.
It's win-win, man. Yeah. We have no crime because everyone lives in a terrified state of whatever, so we just fuck everything.
So Picard comes down to try and settle the score.
Well, you got to call Dad. That's what's it's kind of embarrassing.
It's very embarrassing. Bullshit.
It's just him going like, you don't deal in absolutes. There can't be justice.
But that's CCing your boss on the fourth email kind of a thing.
Yeah,
like,
I'm getting someone else involved.
Let me take one of you to come up here and look at your god and tell me, because I feel there's a whole hunch of like, this is fake. This is like someone controlling the planet or something.
Right, it's not a god. It's like these aliens that are just kind of like overseeing these people or whatever.
Interdimensional aliens, point of fact.
Oh, yikes.
But
nice
man,
ball.
They don't solve shit on this.
They really don't.
The mystery is not entirely solved by the end of this
episode.
This
woman comes up. She has a fucking panic attack because she's like primitive because they're breaking the prime directive like left and right.
Well, it's such horseshit. He's like, so the whole episode is like, well, of course, we could easily just beam everyone out of here and go fuck yourself, sex planet. But Picard is like,
the original title of the episode, actually.
And Picard is like, hey, man, that would be like breaking the prime directive. We've got to be a little more respectful. Yeah. So let's just see where this death sentence goes kind of a thing.
Not my kid.
But then at the same time, or is it? But then at the same time, he's like, well, I'm going to pull this lead babe up onto this starship. They don't have starship technology. No. So you're breaking it anyway, motherfucker. Yeah. What are you doing?
Exactly. But she freaks out. She then thinks like, Picard
The god ship tries to like bum rush the Enterprise. Yeah. This like voice of whatever is like, get my child off your spacecraft.
Okay.
All right. Back to the fuck planet.
Yeah. She goes down. The weird thing is we for some reason we're using communicators to beam people, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I didn't get that. Yeah. Picard rips the thing off his uniform and attaches it to this woman and he's like, one to beam down. I guess that's quicker than like, hey, engineering, there's this lady in this lounge.
That you now have to locate.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to ask her weight. I'm just going to put the thing on her. That's all right.
She looks about my size. About my
That made me laugh.
She's got a Gates McFadden-esque poodle wig on.
Of course.
This lady.
Everyone, it's the 80s, man.
It's awesome.
Also, white planet, by the way. Not a black person to be found.
Not any
no,
other color.
Also, it's impeccably clean, which takes me right out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want a fucking filth, not like a dirty pig?
Do you think there's like a mop bot or something down there?
Or like at nighttime when they all go inside to fuck, like a whole, like the inner planet, the one who does like all the work. The orcs have to come out and scrub all the cum and butt squirt and everything else.
Butt squirt?
Well, that's the thing, Cabin. To your point about butt squirting and coming and everything else, my lord in heaven, this episode. But the thing about it is, why would you want the death planet, the death sentence, when a much worse penalty is you are just sentenced to be that planet's janitor?
Exactly. You get
me?
Turned into an orc.
Mr. Data, when I brought that woman up here, she
butt squirted everywhere.
Get Mopbot on the case immediately.
Speaking of orcs, you're reminding me of the Morlocks. And this, like that, you remember that, the H.G. Wells Time Machine movie, the 1961?
Oh, yes.
Where everyone's like beautiful, Aryan, and fucking.
Yeah.
Then the fucking Morlocks come up and eat you if you're out after dark or whatever the fuck.
Right.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
That's probably what's going on. Somebody's got to clean stuff. But somebody's got to cook the food. Someone's got to do anything.
Somebody's
got to
get some Ajax on these sidewalks.
Yes,
I'm like,
Ajax.
Like, this is not good. This is not good. And, like, I don't believe it would be this, like, well, pedicured.
You know what? Here's what it is, though. It's probably a thing because we're talking about, like, the lowest infraction, right? So it's like, it's living in one of those planned neighborhoods where everyone's got to fucking stick up their ass about everything. So it's like, Oh, what's that? Your lawn's too long? Punishable by death. Yeah. Littering? Punishable by death.
Yeah, your butt squirts on my property.
You fucking see this line right here? Your butt squirt can't go over this line.
You know who doesn't get to go to the pleasure planet? You know who doesn't go to the pleasure planet? Jordy. Jordy never gets ass in this show. Of any gender, size,
Why not?
It's a weird thing.
The only time you see him try, he's fucking humiliated.
Oh, dude, maybe he's one of those. Well, besides that episode, but maybe he's like just one of those dudes that's like into like the Eiffel Tower.
Objectionist. Yes.
Jordy LaForge married the Eiffel Tower. I fucked the Enterprise.
Yeah, dude,
he's married to the ship, and everyone thinks it's like, oh, that's cute. He's married to the ship. Like, no, but he's married.
He made Data conduct the ceremony, and then. Made Data promise he wouldn't tell anybody about it.
Let me see that. Oh my lord, this is legally binding.
Who could possibly make the you? Oh. How could you do this?
Sorry, Picard. That's a binding contract.
We're not your puppets, Q. Stop marrying my ship to my crewman.
Jordy's just giving him the thumbs up. Thank you, Q.
Just kissing the wall.
I got this from space nonsense.
Oh, but you don't have to take my word for it.
So he goes down. Really, Picard's argument at the end is like, come on. Because, like, that's the whole thing. Like,
that's all
we're talking about everything.
It can't be black and white. Come on, it's a gray area.
Well, his argument is basically like, there is no justice, there is no law without gray areas and interpretation.
And the gods are like, okay, leave.
Get the fuck out. How about, you know what? It's easier for everybody if you just get the fuck out.
Look. We won't tell Starfleet about the orcs. We won't tell them about anything that's going on here.
We won't tell them about the kid stuff, which I know is happening.
I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it. Leave it to yourselves.
Out of sight, out of mind, fuck planet.
But you are giving me back that fucking boy now.
Only because he may or may not be my son.
And a genius god baby. Jordy, 3 to your wife to beam up.
Maybe that's how you start getting Jordy aggravated and talking shit. You're like, oh, Jordy, look, I'm inside your wife right now.
I entered her 3 times today. Going back and forth from the surface, in and out.
I was riding your wife's turbo lift, Jordy.
Now I'm going to go to the bridge and drive your wife. I'm going to drive her hard, and I'm going to drive her all night.
Why would they be being so mean to
you? I don't know. It's Jordy.
Because your eyes don't work. We hate you, Jordy.
They kind of do.
That's a fucked up line that Picard actually has in this episode. Is when they're like, they're looking at this you know, space station, this spacecraft that's like phasing in and out of reality or whatever. Picard's like, hey, Jordy, why don't you go down to the observation deck and get a closer look at this thing? I was like, you tell the fucking blind guy to go get a closer look at something?
But he's got the best camera, so, you know, you got him down there.
It's the very best.
So many megapixels.
So who wins this month, I guess, is the question.
Well, there's one more bit of bullshit
that
we didn't discuss. Just so they Picard's like, fuck you, orgy planet. And they all beam out. But the deal that he strikes, he's like, so just let me know if you want us to, you know, he's doing the thing. He's like, what are you waiting for? You know, he's like, if anyone has beef with those like colonists, because that was one of the things that these aliens were like, hey, we kind of don't like the fact that you colonized that other planet. Like, sure, get the fuck out of here. So he's like, hey, by the way, just let me know if you want these colonists to get out of here. I'll be happy to pick them up and we'll just skedaddle. And it's kind of a shitty line. Data's like, yeah, by the way, Captain, there were all these other planets that we just passed by that we could have colonized before we got to this one. But so he leaves it up to these aliens, like, hey, man, if you want us to take these guys out of here, just let us know. And the ship just vanishes. And they're all like, well, so was there an answer there? And Picard's like, sometimes it's a cosmic mystery.
Who gives a fuck?
They might die.
It's hey, fucked up.
Hey, Geordi, kick your wife into overdrive. We're getting out of here.
Who wins this month? I think Star Trek The Next Generation hands
big
fucking down.
I do too, yeah.
I think it does win. The Next Generation wins, but not by much, because this is...
It's not a great episode by any shit. Yeah. No, I mean, like...
I'm sorry. I'm going to argue that one a little bit. Like, I like this episode.
Yeah, you butt squirt all over.
Oh, I was squirting left and right. I was watching this movie on the train, man. I almost got kicked off.
I do like this episode. It's not a great episode with a capital G.
Well, there's a lot of awkward stuff in it, but it's also...
It's more of a traditional Star Trek episode. You got a planet. You got a problem. Yep. You got a god creature. That's every episode.
Yeah, and it is like, you know, as much as it's about fucking and dirty sex and butt squirts and whatnot... We're also like, we're really trying to tackle a social thing in a Star Trek episode. Yep, sure. Capital punishment. It's there. It's something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And big
it's
sex.
Not horrendously racist and it's not sexist.
No, yeah. The women are everybody's getting into everything.
Everybody is sucking and fucking until the sun comes up.
Yes.
Sucking each other, fucking everything.
Without awesome. Janitorial staff.
The funny thing is, I mean, like, not surprisingly, but the episode doesn't mention homosexuality at all. Like, it's a planet where everything goes, but we don't talk about the other stuff.
Well, you can only expect so much from 1987.
I agree.
But I think it's all there.
In quotes, yeah.
You know what I mean?
TNG wins, yep.
Yeah.
I'll admit it.
Wow. I'll admit it.
So we, you know, I asked last time, send me some Slash, and no one did.
That's fucked up.
Well, no, then
we ask so little.
I know. Eric was up all night crying.
I was crying. But then
where's my Slash?
I went on Twitter and I was like, send me some Slash. And then finally some people were like, well, all right. You know, I'm already on Twitter. That's basically Slash. So these people, you know, sent me their other tabs. And I got one here called Jim Kirk and the Gender Bending Plant.
Oh.
By All Hail Brunel.
Of course.
On archiveofourown.org.
Yep. All of that checks out.
All right.
What in God's name did you do to yourself now, Jim?
Bones growled as he strolled around this corner.
Strolled!
Into the transporter room.
Oh, by the way, this is your money, so you can turn this off whenever you want.
That's true. And this is, honestly, this is a tamer one. Someone sent me one where, like, Spock was inserting shit into fucking Kirk's fucking penis hole and shit.
Whoa!
And I'm like...
Like, literally feces?
No, stuff.
No, like, I think it, like, paper clips or something into his dick hole or whatever. Anyway.
Well, that's a thing.
So I decided this would be a little more fun for everyone. He had known damn well that Jim was probably going to get himself into some kind of trouble down on the latest planet they had stopped at, especially since he had declined to take anyone but Spock, two security ensigns, and three science officers down with him, stating that it was just a routine collection of samples down on the planet, and that he didn't need too big of an away team.
Likely story.
But of course Jim had to go and get something done to him. If the frantic note in Scotty's voice was anything to go by, I'm fine, Bones. Scotty's just overreacting. A soft voice that definitely was not what Jim usually sounded like.
Uh-oh.
Answered him. So I guess it was more like, I'm fine, Bones. Scotty's just overreacting. He looked up... He looked up for his tricorder and with a startled expression, taking in the sight of the short blonde woman who was standing in the place of what he had originally anticipated to be Jim. She was wearing Jim's command gold shirt.
At least it wasn't wearing that fucking green one.
If the way it was ripped and hanging off her small frame was anything to go by, she had an irritated look on her face and she kept shoving the thick tangle of straw-colored curls away from her face and back over her shoulders. The top of her head had barely reached Bones' shoulder. But he could see the usual slightly stocky build to Jim's frame in her shoulders, and he could very clearly see the ample curve of her breasts through the shirt she had on.
I'm imagining William Shatner reading this, getting upset. Like, come on, guys. I'd be a beautiful woman.
I was actually imagining that Lady Gremlin.
A quick look towards Scotty showed that he had obviously also noticed the difference in Jim's new assets.
Oh, come on, Jim.
Yeah, it's me. One of the science officers went at a plant with a scalpel to get a sample, and it did not like that. It spit some clear liquid on both of us, and now I'm here.
Uh-oh, butt squirt.
Bones frowned at the explanation. Where's the science officer? One of the other officers... Other science officers took him down to med bay, but by the time he got back into the ship, he had already changed back into a guy.
Oh.
That made Bones frown even more as his forehead scrunched up in confusion. If he's already changed back, then why are you still a lady? Spock said it had probably because the Lieutenant Jackson. I don't know why we're naming these characters.
It's not even a character.
Oh, you guys ever heard of Lieutenant Jackson?
Only got
Sorry, Lieutenant Jackson. You're not a woman.
Only got hit with a tiny bit of the liquid because I jumped in front of him, so he changed back almost immediately.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Bones walked over to her, and without even saying a word, he jammed a hypno into the base of her neck. Ow, what the fuck, Bones? She whined.
I'm saying what the fuck in Star Trek.
As she rubbed the spot on her neck.
What you don't know you could have gotten down there on that planet. Hell, even just from that plant alone, that's just a course of antibiotics to fight off whatever you might have caught.
He said with a growl, and he grabbed Jim's arm, pulling her along with him.
Come on, gonna go back to our quarters to deal with this shit show.
No one's saying shit show in Star Trek.
Jim smirked at him and called back to Scotty. You hear that, Scotty? Bones and I are going to bang.
What? Come on.
Make sure Spock knows he's acting captain for a while.
God damn it, Jim. Don't say it so loud. Bones scowled as he cuffed her on the back of the head.
She giggled at him. I mean, I'm sorry this is a long-winded one.
No, that's all right. We're getting somewhere.
Jim sauntered into the quarters, swinging her hips and crooking her finger in the universal gesture of come hither, as if...
Gavin just threw up.
Probably the bad turn of phrase really, really bothered him more than anything.
Come on, Bonesy. You said you'd take care of me.
Bonesy!
Cheekily.
I don't remember saying anything about taking care of you.
Bones growled lowly as he walked up to Jim and wrapped an arm around her tiny waist. Jim pouted back at him. Does that mean you aren't going to take care of me?
Oh.
She asked with a mockingly sweet voice as she plucked at the fabric of his shirt.
Oh, don't worry, darling. I'll take care of you. Yeah, Bones? You sure you can handle me, old man? Jim said with a smirk.
Oh, so this is from like the motion picture era?
No. Oh, yeah, she's 60 and he's 100.
Row, row, row your boat, girl, Jim.
Bones smirked right back at her before pushing her down onto the bed and climbing in between her splayed thighs. Oh. He caught Jim's mouth in a brutal kiss, making sure his younger lover couldn't say anything else while one of his hands moved up to cup a newly formed breast.
And Jesus Christ!
And a roll of hardened nipple between his index finger and thumb. Oh. His smirk grew bigger as Jim moaned and shuddered beneath all the attention.
The thing is, I have to now imagine DeForest Kelly ever having sex, which is just like...
Bones interior monologue.
His nipples are even more sensitive as a girl. Good to know.
All right. Look, here's the thing. We don't need to change perspectives here. You know, we've got a story brewing.
Yes, we do indeed have a story brewing.
Bones moved down Jim's throat and chest, leaving a trail of light patches of red that he knew would turn into fairly big hickeys come next morning.
Star Trek. Can I resign?
Is there a way to resign from the show?
When he reached Jim's chest, he took he took on a nipple into his mouth and gave such a harsh suck, reveling in the loud, long moan that tore from Jim's
throat. Who wants to replace me on the show? Right into the mailbag.
His hand went to her other breast and gave a few sharp tugs. To the pebbled pink flesh.
Come on.
Get those letters in quick.
Yeah, stop teasing me, you bastard, Jim ground out as she wrapped her thighs around Bones and gave him a slow central roll, the friction of Bones' medical blue uniform up against
her. He didn't even take that fucking smock off.
Oh, I fucking shower in this shit. I'm operating.
Oh, God.
Who gets off to this? Also, how long is this?
It's long. Let's just do another paragraph or two, see where it goes. Right? Bones grabbed one of her hips with his free hands and forced it back down against the mattress, raising an eyebrow up at Jim as he pulled his mouth off of Jim's breast with a wet pop.
None of that, sugar. I'm the one in charge here.
Jim smirked it back at him. You're going to gag me as well.
All right.
That's it?
That's it. That's more than enough.
Not to stop your edging or anything.
Now, come on, Bones. You said you were going to fuck me.
Right.
No, I never explicitly said that.
All right, yeah, we'll stop. Listener, if you want another one read on the air, send a more succinct one.
Sure. Yeah, totally. How about an editor? Jesus, fucking slash fiction.
Literally, how much? That was like going to the bottom of the iTunes, period.
Is that a sex move?
The Steve Jobs, you call that.
So would you call your sex moves?
Oh, yeah. Get the jobs going.
Woo! Get the Steve job.
Woo! Oh, no.
Gross.
Yeah, dude. Get a Steve job.
Oh, slash fiction is the best on the internet. So that is the Nexus for April, everybody.
Also, feel free to write your own We Hate Movies slash fiction.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Why not?
Yeah, let's hear about the Steve Jobs.
Next month, we are continuing, of course, with TOS and TNG, so keep that going.
So is writing, he shortly said.
Yeah, maybe I should have done more research and picked a better one. But
well, no, I was talking about me. Like somebody that would be an adjective of how I speak.
Well, to keep things gross, next month on the Nexus for TOS, we're talking about the episode What Are Little Girls Made Of?
Oh, no.
Gene Roddenberry's a monster. And then over on TNG, we're talking about The Battle, which is, I'm sorry, guys, it's a fucking Ferengi episode.
Oh, no.
So farts abound with the Ferengi next month on the Nexus. Until next time, thank you very much for subscribing to our Patreon. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sater.
Eric Siska, Jim.
Chris Captain.
Take it easy.